I'll Be the Light to Guide You, written by Rebe Ten, and read by Flower Parish. This is a Stranger Things fic, rated for teen and up audiences, featuring Chrissy Cunningham and Eddie Munson. Summary: when Chrissy starts to rise to the ceiling, Eddie falls and accidentally turns on one of Uncle Wayne's tapes. And it changes everything.
If you ever find yourself lost in the dark and you can't see, I'll be the light to guide you. Find out what we're made of when we are called to help our friends in need.
Hey, Chrissy, Eddie crowed as he returned to the living room, drugs raised high above his head in success. I found... Eddie came to an abrupt halt, and his words caught in his throat as Chrissy, who had until then been standing still in the middle of the room as she waited, began to move up. It took a few seconds for it to really even click, because it seemed so absurd, but she really was rising toward the ceiling. He stumbled back, unable to tear his eyes away, and promptly tripped. His arms flailed wide, smacking against the tape deck on the side table as he tried, and failed, to stop his fall. A burst of music filled the room as he hit the ground. Eddie was a little too distracted to really pay attention to the music, focused on the girl rising up feet in front of him. He wasn't sure what to do, what he could do. All he could do was stare in horror, heart beating so fast he felt like he might die at any moment. It was, he thought wildly, what it must be like in the beginning of a horror movie. Except Chrissy wasn't rising anymore. She'd stopped just short of the ceiling, hovering unnaturally, eyes wide and unseeing. A minute passed, then another. Eddie's ragged breathing started to slow when nothing else seemed to be happening, which was weird, right? He kind of thought something else should be happening, something bad. Not that he was upset about not having something bad happen, really. It just seemed weird. Then, all of a sudden, Chrissy dropped to the ground. She landed in an awkward pile, seemingly boneless with the splay of her limbs. Eddie just stared, heart beating faster again. She'd only fallen from a few feet up, but it still seemed like that had to be painful. Was she okay? Unfortunately, he was the only one around to check. Eddie wished that he was a little less of a coward, or perhaps a little more of one, so he could just run and try to pretend whatever had happened hadn't happened, as he crawled slowly across the floor to her. His body was tense, ready to jolt away at the slightest provocation. His mind was a loop of horror movie moments, contorted, scuttling bodies and sharp, animalistic movements that no human should be capable of. But Chrissy didn't move except for the soft rise and fall of her chest as she breathed. That was good, right? She was alive, not dead in his living room, where he'd certainly be blamed for it, even though he didn't even have any idea what was going on. He reached out to touch her, still waiting for the other shoe to drop, and her eyes fluttered open, slow enough that he didn't startle too much. Her gaze looked blurry and confused, and he couldn't blame her. He felt the same way if he was being honest, and he'd actually been conscious for all of it. Eddie, she asked, finally focusing on his face. He nodded, not trusting his own voice. Chrissy started to push herself up, and he helped as best he could, letting her huddle against him, both of them still on the floor. Her skin was clammy, even though the trailer was pretty stuffy, the air conditioner having been out for the past week, while Eddie saved every cent of his drug-dealing money to fix it. "What happened?" Chrissy asked, looking around the room with wide eyes. There was something haunted there, even more so than when she had come to him to beg for drugs to let her sleep. "I feel like I should be asking you that," Eddie said, with a laugh devoid of actual humor. He shook his head. "I don't know. I went to find the drugs and you started fucking levitating. I don't know. It was scary as shit. And then you just fell. Are you okay?" Chrissy glanced down at herself, apparently assessing. She flexed her wrists and ankles and nodded. Yeah, I think so. She didn't say anything else, and Eddie didn't know what to say either. They lapsed into silence, huddled together. It should have been weird, and it kind of was, considering Eddie had never even thought about being this near to ultra-cheerleader Chrissy Cunningham. But it also wasn't nearly as weird as it probably should have been. Maybe because they were both still on an adrenaline high from their mutual fright. "I was in hell, I think," Chrissy said after a while. Eddie turned to look at her, but she was staring off toward Uncle Wayne's hat collection, though he was pretty sure she wasn't actually seeing them. It was all red and orange, and there were floating pieces of a house, I think, and there was a man. Eddie felt suddenly cold, even though he couldn't say why. Chrissy shivered against him, and he wrapped an arm around her shoulders, willing warmth into them both. He wasn't sure what else to do. "There was a man, but he wasn't right," she continued. "He looked like a monster, and he sounded so scary. And he wanted to kill me. He was going to kill me, I know it. He was saying all these terrible things, but then I heard the music and I..." She trailed off, and Eddie abruptly became aware of the music coming from the old tape deck behind them. It was one of Uncle Wayne's tapes, some country song that Eddie didn't really care for all that much, but he was fond of just how much it reminded him of good times with Uncle Wayne, of lazy evenings sitting around the trailer and listening to music together. "It was my favorite song," Chrissy whispered, and Eddie could tell without even looking that she was close to tears. "And I heard it, and I didn't want him to kill me. I wanted to live. So I ran, and then I was here again." It sounded like something out of one of Eddie's fantasy books, if he was being honest. It didn't sound real. And if he hadn't seen Chrissy rising up to the ceiling like that, her eyes blank, he probably would have scoffed at her story. But it wasn't like he had any idea what had happened. It couldn't be a bad trip, considering he hadn't given her the drugs yet, and he certainly hadn't been taking anything that strong either. "You're okay now," Eddie said, when it seemed like she was finished. He wasn't sure it was true, but what else was he supposed to say? He wasn't exactly practiced in the art of emotional reassurances, especially for a girl like Chrissy, and especially in a case like this. Chrissy snorted, like she didn't quite believe him either, but she didn't argue. "My headache is coming back," she said instead. "The one that I... Anyway, could you change the song back? I think it'll help." Eddie wasn't sure whether that was true or not, but he gamely got up and went over to the tape deck. The silence as he rewound the tape seemed ominous somehow, even though it was just the same nighttime sounds he heard every night from the trailer park. Finally, after a few false starts at finding the right place, he got to the beginning of the song and let it play. Chrissy immediately seemed to relax, her breath coming stronger and her shivering stopping. Eddie still got the blanket from the back of the couch before he returned to the floor, wrapping it around her shoulders. She looked up at him, smiling gratefully, if not still a little fragile in the corners, and he smiled back. They sat there for hours, sometimes in silence, sometimes talking about anything and nothing. Eddie would get up every few minutes to rewind the tape deck and restart Chrissy's song until finally he gave up and dragged the table over to where they'd been sitting on the floor so he wouldn't have to get up. It was a little startling to Eddie how well he and Chrissy got along. He'd seen her from afar, but never interacted with her before. Why would he have? They were from completely different worlds, were completely different people. Except, it turned out, for all the things they had in common. They didn't have the same experiences, of course, but they both had their issues with family and expectations, living up to them or living down to them, and struggles no one else could see. He never would have thought that was the case. By the time dawn light was starting to filter through the thin curtains over the windows, Eddie was pretty sure he had a new friend. He could see why half the boys were in love with her, even if they could only see the pretty, sweet surface. If he was into girls, he was certain he'd be into her too by now if he hadn't been before. But he wasn't, so. That wasn't something he said out loud, but he was pretty sure Chrissy understood. There was just something that seemed to click between them, comfortable in a way that came with intense, intimate talks in the dark of night after a terrifying experience together. Eddie only hoped that it stuck after daylight really came, because he didn't want to lose Chrissy as a friend now that he had her, as strange as it was to realize. "I don't want to go home, or be alone," Chrissy admitted, as the morning sounds started to filter in from the awakening trailer park. "I know," Eddie replied. "I know." He had to admit that that was something he'd thought about, too, over the past few hours. Chrissy could only stay here, listening to the same song on loop, for so long. For one, her parents, and her asshole of a boyfriend, probably, were going to wonder where she was at some point, and they certainly wouldn't be happy to find that she'd been hanging out with him, of all people, at Forest Hills Trailer Park, of all places. But it was spring break, so maybe they had some extra leeway there. I'm afraid of it happening again. Because, yeah, they still didn't really know what had happened, or why, or if it would happen again. Or, more importantly, how to stop it from happening completely. As it happened, they didn't have to wait long to find out, sort of. It turned out that Hawkins was a much stranger place than either of them had imagined before. And Eddie had a pretty strong imagination, as anyone who knew him could attest. He'd certainly entertained ideas of his teachers secretly being flesh-eating monsters, and more than one of Uncle Wayne's anti-government rants had led to ideas of government cover-ups for the various odd happenings around town the past couple of years. It was wild to realize that he'd been closer to the truth than he ever would have suspected. Because somehow, after a night of talking and wondering what the hell was going on, Eddie and Chrissy ended up going from avoiding her going home to, instead, the two of them getting mixed up in the fucking end of the world or something. And with his little Dungeons and Dragons freshman and Steve the Hare Harrington of all people. To think, for a few glorious hours, Eddie had figured Chrissy levitating was the weirdest thing he'd ever dealt with. But that was before, and now the two of them had been through hell together. If Eddie thought the two of them were friends by the time that first morning came, they were best friends by the end of it. Suddenly, the way Harrington and Buckley, Steve and Robin now, and wasn't that wild, had become so close after last summer, something he and just about everyone else in Hawkins had wondered about, didn't seem so strange at all. Chrissy laughed when he told her that privately, but she agreed. Their friendship might be a bit strange, but they'd seen plenty of strange the past few days. Strange and terrible. At least this was strange and wonderful. With Creel, one, Henry, whatever, dead, verified by the kick-ass girl with mental powers, they were finally getting a chance to relax and recover. Because while they'd all somehow made it out alive, it hadn't been exactly easy. Chrissy had mostly been fine other than a couple of levitation scares when they didn't get her tape rewound fast enough, while Eddie had some pretty gnarly demobat bites to contend with. But somehow, despite it all, they were alive, and Eddie was grateful to have a whole new group of friends, even if they were all traumatized. At least they were all traumatized together. Chrissy smacked him in the shoulder for saying that where the kids could hear, but hey, he was grateful for that too. Best friend privileges, he supposed. He'd take it. The end.
You can count on me like 1, 2, 3, and I'll be there. And I know when I need it, I can count on you like 4, 3, 2, and you'll be there. 'Cause that's what friends are supposed to do, oh yeah.